Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman. And I notice on our Facebook page is, folks, by the way, we forgot to tell you, if you're just tuning in for the very first time, you can watch us do radio by going to Facebook or YouTube and searching for Today's Issues and clicking through. And on Facebook, a lot of our folks are like best friends or something. They just enjoy each other's company and write back and forth. But anyway, some folks were asking about Ray Pritchard, and Dr. Ray Pritchard is typically on with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but he is out teaching the Bible. I think he's traveling and ministering, fine Bible teacher. So he will be out this week, and as far as I know, we'll be back in next week. So you'll get to hear a little bit of Dr. Ray Pritchard next week. All right, Steve Jordahl, who is on with us in the third segment of Today's Issues, is in Studio Venus with us. Steve?
It's lonely out in space.
And in space, no one can hear you whistle.
That's right.
Or scream or something. I don't know. Some movie there. Well, I know exactly what movie it was. But anyway.
It's okay, Dave.
Actually, good movie, but not the one I was thinking about. That's 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
Which I'm sure that Brent Creeley, our producer, and Walker Wildman, my co-host, have both seen, right? You know, it's before your time.
My all-time favorite.
All right, Steve, get us started. What do you got?
All right. Hey, let's start with this. We played a story that I put together for today on the newscast here at 11 o'clock. You may have heard it if you've been listening through the break, but I wanted to run it by you guys. Vice President Biden, should he gain the White House, and we're all in agreement that that's not a done deal yet, says he's going to put some executive orders together on day one, that he is going to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords, that he is going to rejoin the WHO, that he's going to put the Dreamer program back on the table, and that he's going to reinstate lift the ban on transgenders in the military. I want you to hear what Gary Bauer had to say about all this, because he's not happy with where it's going. But I want you to hear what he had to say. This is cut six.
We're going to see Biden, by executive order, reentering the Paris Climate Accord. He's going to end the travel ban on extremist Muslim countries. The media refers to this as a Muslim ban. It was not a Muslim ban. He will end the ban in the military on transgenders. Biden will re-involve us with the World Health Organization, which ended up acting like the Chinese Health Organization at the beginning of the pandemic. Kamala Harris said last week they will open up a quasi-embassy in East Jerusalem to serve the Palestinians. They'll have two embassies. Now, if you don't think that's going to cause a problem, I would like to sit down and have a long talk with a group called Pro-Lifers for Biden.
Wouldn't we all?
So WHO, that's not a wrestling organization. That's the World Health Organization?
It is the World Health Organization. Yes, really acting on China, as Gary kind of intimated, acting on China's behalf at the beginning of this coronavirus thing, hiding data and the complicity of China in this whole thing.
Well, listen, I think that there's no surprise that Joe Biden is a leftist. I don't think he's as radical as AOC in all areas, but he certainly loves the Green New Deal and some of those kinds of policies. Steve, let me ask you this. What do you think about the fact, you know, Nancy Pelosi has refused to denounce socialism?
Yep.
She is she wants to be House Speaker again.
Yep.
And it may be a very close vote. So Fox has a story saying the left-wing ideology has become a growing wedge issue within the Democratic Party. It doesn't sound like Joe Biden is all that concerned about the left-wing ideology or the left-wing agenda. It sounds like he's already promising to get in the swing of things as soon as he takes office, if that's the way it plays out.
He doesn't have to pander to anybody anymore, at least in his mind. He's got the nomination. He's got the election in his mind. And so he's not beholden right now to the left wing of the Democrat Party. Now, they are going to lobby like crazy to get him to put things in like the Green New Deal and Medicare for All. They're going to be relentless, so he will have to deal with them. But Nancy Pelosi still has a vote to come.
Right.
As Speaker of the House. And in fact, last Congress in 2018, she had a significant challenge. There was a number of people who stepped out of line. She held her coalition together enough to get the nod to be Speaker. But Democrats had a very, very poor showing in the House. Nancy Pelosi just did not have her ducks in a row this time. I think the American people are holding her and the House responsible for that sham impeachment that happened, and they're just not happy about it.
You know, Walker, also, and then we'll move on to something else, you know, Nancy Pelosi and those running in the House, those who lost seats in the House blamed the radical left wing, the slash socialist slash progressive wing of the party, the defund police, all these kind of things, what Steve's talking about as well. They're blaming the left wing. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, is saying that it is the fault of Nancy Pelosi and the other establishment Democrats because they didn't effectively use social media, et cetera. In other words, they need to come into the 21st century. Where do you think this is going? Does this portend a possible split in the Democratic Party going forward?
Yeah, I think that the Democrat Party is going to have to continue moving left. If they don't, they're going to face severe opposition. I mean, I think the media is even willing to go to bat for people like AOC and the Squad, because that's the future of the Democrat Party. So it's one of those things. Once you let the radicals in and you give them legitimacy and you give them a space at the podium, then one of the two factions is eventually going to win out. And you're seeing that now with the inter-party fighting.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what else you got?
Just this coming over the wire, CBS News is reporting that the Biden transition team is considering legal action as a federal agency, and they don't list the one with the tweet that I'm reading, refuses to acknowledge the results of the election and greenlight full access to other agencies and funding. So the Trump transition team is suing the Biden transition team is suing the Trump administration and some of its agencies because the Biden transition team isn't being allowed to come in and see the books and start planning their takeover.
Well, listen, first of all, it is typical for the new administration to be granted this kind of access and for there to be a transition, because you can't just come in on the day of the inauguration and, you know, put your whole administration into action. I can understand the frustration of, if Joe Biden was president-elect, him wanting the transition. But his opponent, President Trump, has not conceded. And there are serious questions as to whether Joe Biden actually is president-elect. This is going to be very interesting. Where are they suing the Trump administration?
Well, I have that up here.
All right.
He forged ahead Monday with, this is reading from CBS News. Joe Biden forged ahead Monday with the presidential transition team unveiling a task force for fighting the pandemic, laying the groundwork for a flurry of first day executive actions, which we just talked about. The transition team is now considering legal options if the Trump administration continues to stall on transferring power.
Yeah, you know, there's not much of a legal case there because the transition is a courtesy.
Right.
It's not a law, and it works good when there's a declared winner. So there would be a stronger case for that if after the Electoral College meets in December, then the Trump administration is still stonewalling the reported Biden transition team.
Well, what the statement from the transition team is, quote, "We believe that the time has come for the GSA, that's the General Services Administration, administrator, to promptly ascertain Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as president-elect and vice president-elect." They want it official now.
Wow.
They want it official before maybe they see the tea leaves coming and the numbers creeping back, and if they can, you know, don't look at the man behind the curtain kind of thing. I
got to tell you, I've never seen anything like this, what's unfolding right now. And as I mentioned many times on this show, I've been following politics since I was in the seventh grade. I can remember being brokenhearted when Ronald Reagan in 1976 failed to get enough delegates at the Republican National Convention to get the nomination and take it away from Gerald Ford. He would become the Republican nominee in 1980 and become president two terms. But I've never seen this, what we're seeing. I have never seen an election like this where there is so much, not only so much at stake, but so much at issue in terms of whether or not Joe Biden won. This is insane. Now you have their transition team wanting to get the GSA to declare that they are, in effect, president and vice president-elect, and you've got lawsuits. You've got the Supreme Court probably going to step in Pennsylvania. You've got lawsuits. You've got glitches. This is crazy.
It's been pointed out several times that it took 39 days, I think, for them to solve the Gore. Al Gore was fighting the Florida recount in 2020 for a month. It's been 1 week here. And
yeah,
Stacey Abrams never conceded in Georgia. She still thinks she's the governor of Georgia.
let me just say, concerning the 2000 election, Bush-Gore, the infamous, that went to the Supreme Court.
Hanging Chads,
as far as I remember, Steve, let me know, Walker, if you remember reading about this, but every other state was settled.
Yeah.
Florida was the only one remaining. That's not true here.
No, that was the case. And just as a sidebar to that, Florida, who had far more votes to count than Pennsylvania or North Carolina or any of these other outstanding states, got their stuff done quickly because I think they learned some lessons in 2000 on how to count votes. And, you know, they weren't going to let Broward County be the butt of a national joke again.
Yeah.
And they did their work. I think if somebody doesn't come along and put some kind of a commission together or an effort to normalize voting laws in this country,
right,
somebody's not paying attention.
Yeah, you have this. That's the pro and the con of having, when our founders left it up to each individual state and their legislature to regulate the laws, you naturally are going to have inconsistencies at times, but also it leaves the power in control at the state level, which is a good thing in the long term. But really what you've seen, Steve, in this cycle, in this election cycle, is you haven't necessarily seen the legislatures start changing a bunch of things. You've had the executive branch at the state level, the governors and the secretaries of state, changing regulations or trying to change law unilaterally.
And the judicial branch coming in and backing
them up. Now that's a very interesting point, because in some of these close states, like Georgia, like Pennsylvania, Steve, to your point, Pennsylvania, this is my understanding, Pennsylvania did not start counting its early voting because the Republican legislature wouldn't allow it. They said they can only start counting these mail-in votes on Election Day. So you have some of these are Republican legislatures. Wisconsin has a Republican legislature, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question is, to Walker's point, why wouldn't the legislators take their state constitutional duty seriously? I think it's because, all right, this is just my opinion, I don't want to smear all these Republican legislatures, but we all know that the wokeness in this country is a very powerful thing. I think they're afraid of being accused of wanting to suppress minority voters by making sure you have voter ID and all those kind of things. And so they abdicate their responsibility and let the oftentimes Democratic governor or the establishment, the bureaucracy, handle it so they don't get any blowback. That's just my view, because it is very interesting what Walker said, Steve. These legislatures could have changed these laws.
They could have, and I wouldn't disagree for a second with anything you just said. I think that's a very plausible explanation.
Right. Well, listen, I got the gritty ditty going on here. There you go. So, all right, let's.
I got a question to ask you guys.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you heard at the very end of the clip I played from Gary Bauer, he said he'd like to have a sit down with a group called Pro-Lifers for Biden. Now, it's pretty much acknowledged that all these evangelicals for Biden and the conservatives, the Never Trumpers, didn't have that much of a say, although it's a close election, you didn't know. But will you ever look at a Biden pro-abortion mandate or some putting transgenders back in the military or something that's going to destroy the fabric of this country and not think of those people again?
Oh, no, I'll think about them. And probably if Joe Biden becomes president and puts into effect these what Gary Bauer is talking about, some of these kinds of executive orders. Walker, you jump in here in a second. No, I will be more than happy to call out the so-called evangelicals. I apologize for that. The evangelicals, Jesus knows if they're Christians or not. I don't. These evangelicals, let me put it this way, who have been brainwashed or hoodwinked into thinking that the issue of abortion, that the issue of pro-life matters, don't just point to abortion, but they want to throw all these other issues in as an excuse to vote in favor of a pro-abortion candidate.
Yeah.
I will be happy to call those folks out.
Yeah, the murder of innocent babies is the most egregious on the life scale, one of the most egregious acts that the Democrat Party supports. People talk about one-issue voters. I mean, that could easily, you could justify being a one-issue voter based on the life issue.
I don't remember if it was on our air, but it was somebody who was saying that they're not a one-issue voter as in that one issue will determine who they vote for, but that one issue will determine who they don't vote for.
Right.
In other words,
Well, I agree with Walker because all of our other rights that are enshrined in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights flow from the biblical idea that we are created in the image of God. That's why it's wrong to lie and cheat and steal and commit adultery and murder. It's all these things that we talk about in defending the family and promoting biblical sexuality is all extends from the biblical idea of having been created in the image of God. That's what our founders said in the Declaration of Independence, for example. We are not animals. And this is why this life issue is so critical, because the life issue flows out of that truth about being made in the image of God.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All right.
Kenny, I want to point out some craziness going on in New York State, if I could. I know we've been going
around.
Find
that hard to believe.
I know, right? You know that the vaccine is upon us, so we hear Pfizer is making great progress on this vaccine, and that should be good news for pretty much everybody, and it is good news for everybody, maybe except for Governor Andrew Cuomo. Listen to what he had to say about the vaccine. Cut 8.
Ask yourself this. What are Pennsylvania Democrats...
Oh, the other cut 8. Sorry.
The good news
cut
is the Pfizer tests look good, and we'll have a vaccine shortly. The bad news is that it's about 2 months before Joe Biden takes over. And that means this administration is going to be implementing a vaccine plan. And the Trump administration is rolling out the vaccination plan, and I believe it's flawed. I believe it learns nothing from the past. They're basically going to have the private providers do it. And that's going to leave out all sorts of communities that were left out the first time when COVID ravaged them.
What's he talking about, Steve?
Well, he's saying, yay, we got a vaccine, but boo-hoo, Trump is in charge of rolling it out.
And well, what communities is he talking about that were left out the first time that COVID hit?
Well, so the man who stuffed people back into rest homes and
right.
killed thousands and thousands in New York is talking about some of these underserved like color, communities of color, the poor communities that maybe he says got the testing late and were disproportionately hit by the COVID vaccine. Let me just also stop here and say that the wrong cut was played, and that was my fault, not Brent. Brent was doing exactly what I told
Brent
him to do.
Brent is never wrong.
But I misnumbered that on my sheet. Anyway.
Brent said, tell my wife.
Be glad to, Brent. Be glad to. So that's what he was talking about.
Well, let me just say this, okay? First of all, the default position of Democrats is oftentimes, not always, oftentimes Republicans are racist and therefore, you know, XYZ. Second of all, if it is true that minority communities were overlooked when COVID first hit, then that's a legitimate accusation, if it's true, and something should be done to rectify that. These kinds of things should be available to all communities and as far as you can, mm-hmm. and make it equal access. So I just don't know if Governor Cuomo is telling the truth or not, or if he's going to the default explanation for everything, which is conservatives are racist. So I have no idea.
Yeah, the if you want to know what Trump derangement syndrome looks like, you look at these Democrats, including former Vice President Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Cuomo, the governor of New York, who are all delegitimizing the COVID vaccine. They're discrediting it, talking about how it's not going to work if it's a Trump vaccine. But here, watch this. Should Joe Biden be elected and be confirmed or be sworn in, they will turn that into a Biden vaccine.
Yes.
And they'll say it was a problem. It was messed up when we took it over during the transition, but Joe Biden came in and fixed it, and now it's a great vaccine.
You're exactly right. What they'll say, I'm in full agreement, is they'll say, yeah, the vaccine's great. Trump botched the distribution.
Right.
And Joe Biden had to come in and make sure it's distributed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can absolutely
because
see that.
Because the Democrats are actually the party of forced everything, forced government mandates, forced vaccines at all levels, state, local, federal. And for all of a sudden, the Democrats, usually it's the homeschoolers who are vaccine skeptics. And now it's the Democrats who are vaccine skeptics.
Was it Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or maybe both? Who said if a vaccine comes out under Trump, I'm not taking it?
That was Senator Harris.
That was okay.
Yeah, at a town hall.
All right.
Yeah, so, and by the way, interesting, have either one of you guys noticed any of those COVID tickers on the side of the networks, you know, how many people are infected or how many people have died?
Well, let me just check because Fox always has that up.
Well, not on their website, it might be.
Wait a second, it's not there anymore, Steve.
It isn't. It's amazing. It's just like it went away.
It's not on CNN either.
Yeah, Steve, I think you were the one who told me about that, and I found that hard to believe. So I looked and I thought, man, that thing has been on Fox since day one, basically of the COVID outbreak when it became a pandemic, and now all of a sudden it's gone. They're not telling us every single day how many new cases of COVID there are. Now I will say this, possibly in defense of Fox, they do have a lot of election results up. But there is plenty of room over there on the right to put that up.
So. It'll come back if President Trump gets, again, within striking distance of the Oval Office, I'm predicting.
All right, and let me just say, I mentioned before that our producer Brent Creeley is always right. Yesterday, when we were talking about which Democrats said they would not take the vaccine if it came out under Trump, Brent handed me a piece of paper and said, Senator Kamala Harris, and I didn't have time to say anything. He was right again.
He's exonerated.
I told you he was right. All right, Steve Jordahl, reporter extraordinaire for One News Now. Thank you, sir,
for
being on. And Fred Jackson, if you're listening, thank you. If you're not, why not? Walker, thank you for being on.
Yes,
Brent,
sir.
Mr. Always Right, thank you. Folks, that's it for today, for today's issues. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you here tomorrow. Tim Wildman, our fearless president and captain of the ship, should be back in the captain's chair. See you tomorrow.